The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for your very warm, metaphorically anyway, invitation and welcome this morning. As Andrew said, my name's Phil Andrew. I'm the Archdeacon of Cheltenham. I've been in post for just 8 months, and part of the role of an archdeacon is to make sure that a church is in a good state, not just materially, but financially and spiritually. So I was a bit concerned when I arrived this morning, wondering whether St. Lawrence Lechlade couldn't afford to put the heating on, but I was reassured by Andrew that it's just that it's broken down, for which we apologise most heartily. So I won't be at all offended if you're so cold that you want to stamp your feet or rub your hands together or hug a neighbour as I preach. But I hope you survive. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the opportunity to remember and give thanks. We thank you too for your written word, and we pray as we engage with it briefly this morning that we might encounter afresh through it the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to think with you briefly this morning about remembrance and remembering. Remembering, it seems to me, is vital to what it means to be human. Some of us are better at remembering than others. I won't ask you to put your hands up as to whether you're a good rememberer, whether you have a good memory or not. Most of us find that we need different tricks to help us to remember things, especially as we get a little bit older. My dad always used to tie a knot in his hanky to help him remember things. I wonder whether anybody still does that today. Maybe you've got a to-do list and you scribble things down on it. Maybe you email yourself. There's so many ways to do it with mobile phones these days. But my favourite reminder to self remains the post-it note. I don't know where we'd be without them scattered around my study. As we get older, we need more reminders. Children, if you're here this morning and you think of your mum and dad, they're always telling the same joke and the same story, and they forget that they've already told this 100 times. Then just bear with them. It's a sign they're getting a little bit older. Remembrance Sunday is, of course, about remembering, but it's a reminder of the importance of remembering. Remembering, I want to suggest this morning, is one of the most vital attributes of humanity at all stages of life. If we're going to flourish as individuals, if we're going to flourish as communities, we need to take remembering seriously. It's true, if you're a child, how many of you would pass your exams, whether at school or university, if you couldn't remember anything? Lovely to see the Beavers and the Cubs and the Scouts here this morning, and I saw one earlier, one cub, with literally 1 million badges on her arm. I can apparently use the term literally, even if it doesn't mean literally anymore, I'm told. How many of those would you have managed to get if you couldn't remember anything at all? Probably none of them. Parents, if you've reached that stage in life where you realise that your sole purpose is to be a taxi driver for your children, you need to remember where to pick them up, don't you? Where to take them, how to get there. Memory is vital. If we forgot to eat or drink, we wouldn't live very long. Much of our sense of identity as people comes from remembering. We remember who we are, where we come from, what our name is, what makes me me, what I love, who loves me and who I love, and what I have to be thankful for. Seems to me, as individuals and as communities, thankful communities, ones that remember where we are and what we have to give thanks for, are living and lively communities, not just those that exist. Some people here, even as I speak, will know those and be reminded of those who are losing or lost their memories. And it's such a painful thing. We can feel as if they've been robbed of part of who they are. Remembering then is vital for human flourishing. It applies to communities as well as individuals. A community that forgets its past is one that struggles to flourish in the present or into the future. I'm not a great poet, but there's one poem that I can recite without any notes. You might be impressed to hear that, but you won't be when I read it to you or say it to you and recite it to you. It's an old poem called History Lesson by Steve Turner. And it says simply this: history repeats itself. Has to. No one listens. And that's so true so often. If we don't remember our past, we're condemned simply to live in repeating it again and again and again. And today, together with millions of people, not just in the UK but around the world, we are here to remember. To remember especially those who have given their lives for us in times of war and conflict. In world wars and many wars since, and troubled parts of our world today. We are here to have time to reflect together and to do some of the things that memory allows and encourages us to do. To give thanks for their sacrifice. To remember the tragedy and the horror of war. Today is not a day to glorify war, but a day to recommit ourselves with others around the world to doing all that we can to make sure that it doesn't break out again. But it's also a time to recommit ourselves to the values and freedoms that those who died and were injured in times of war put their lives on the line to protect for us. Being grateful, gratitude, is not just about looking back and saying thank you, but it's about living today in a way that doesn't take the past for granted. Living today to make sure that what happened then makes a difference to our present and our future. To put it another way, real gratitude means receiving the gift that has been offered. The gift that those we commemorate today laid their lives down for you and for me. The gift of our freedom. It's not always easy to receive gifts. Some of us are suspicious of anybody who offers anything for free. But to really live together remembering and with gratitude for the past requires us to live in the present and to live out the freedoms that have been won for us. Freedoms, for example, that tyrants from Hitler to ISIS would try and deny us, that say we can live together as equals under God. Freedom that says categorically that no one race is superior to another. that the colour of your eyes or your skin or your hair has no bearing on your value and your worth in our society. That all people, whether Jew or Arab or Yazidi, European, African, Asian, however we define ourselves, are of equal and infinite worth to us and to our Creator. Freedoms won for us that allow us to choose our national leaders. The freedom and the responsibility that goes with democracy. Freedom to praise and critique those who hold positions of influence. To speak freely with the privilege and the responsibility that comes with that. Remembrance gives us a vital opportunity to reflect on these freedoms and others, and to value them, not by taking them for granted, but living in them, inhabiting them, living up to them, and living them out, sharing them with each other and with others. That's how we really honour those we are commemorating today. The Gospel reading that we've just had read for us, a famous reading sometimes known as the Beatitudes, has a lot to say, I want to suggest, about living in hard-won freedoms. At the heart of that passage, and you might want to have it in front of you, lies a freedom and a status that cost everything, but that is offered freely to everyone. That might sound a bit strange as you look at the reading. It looks at first light a little bit like a reading about how to earn something. If you do this, then you will get that. It looks, and it's often read, like a prescription. If you've ever been to the doctors, hopefully you've got a prescription that the doctor says, if you do this, you will hopefully get better. Is that what Jesus is saying? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean we need to try harder to be poor in spirit? Or is something else going on? It's easy to think that that's what religion is all about. Winning a place in God's good books. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all in this passage. It just doesn't work. Tell the peacemakers and peacekeepers of our world today that they're blessed, and they might tell you that it doesn't always feel like that. It's hard work. It's dangerous. It's often unappreciated. You get shot at and sometimes spat at. Tell the meek that they will inherit the earth. And if we're honest in our world, it doesn't always feel like that. Try harder to be more meek and see where it gets you in the supermarket queue. Or trying to get to the front of a busy bar. The meek get elbowed out the way. They don't inherit the earth. So what's going on? I want to suggest that what Jesus says in the Beatitudes is not a prescription. It's not about a conditional blessing at all. But rather it's a description of what life looks like in the presence of Jesus Christ. It might be better described as a proclamation or an announcement. In God's kingdom, Jesus says, things look different. They look upside down. Those who are nobodies, who've always been neglected, become not just somebodies, but become children of God. Inheritors of heaven and earth. People who are blessed, and that word could equally be translated fortunate, or good news. Good news for the poor in spirit, because I bring something completely different. The meek, the poor, the hungry, the dependent, the sad, the lonely, says Jesus, are blessed, fortunate, receive good news because of me. Jesus is proclaiming freedom as a gift. Why? How? The answer to why is simply that God is on your side. However important or unimportant you feel, Jesus proclaims, God is on your side. Children, you're never too young. Adults, you're never too old to know that God is on your side. Why? Because that's his nature. He's a God of cosmic generosity. How? Simply through receiving Jesus Christ and all that he has won for us in his life and death and resurrection. It's not very long till Christmas, I'm sorry to tell you. And at Christmas we'll be reading that wonderful passage from John chapter 1, which includes this verse. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. As we think this morning about freedoms and status won for us by those who died in times of war, as we celebrate and live in that freedom, we also remember that in Jesus' life and death and resurrection, the ultimate sacrifice the world has ever seen, we're invited into a new freedom. A freedom that St. Paul in Romans chapter 8 describes as the glorious freedom of the children of God. And this morning, as we remember the fallen, as we give thanks for them, as we protect the freedoms and the values they have won for us, can I invite you too, alongside that, to invite the living God, through his Holy Spirit, to give you a fresh sense of his love, his outrageous generosity, and the freedom that he has won for you and for me, so that you don't have to strive and try to get in God's good books. Let's pray together. Father, we're reminded of Jesus' words that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This morning we give you thanks and praise for men and women who have laid down their lives for others. And we give you thanks that in Jesus Christ your Son, you gave your life for us, that we might live in your freedom and know the glorious freedom of the children of God. As we give our thanks, we pray that our lives might be modelled to live out these freedoms. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.